Psalm 126 this evening, with God's help and God's grace, it's either one to preach on it. Amen. If you have any questions, or anything you want to see my board back there, please get a prayer card. We've got plenty of prayer cards. And amen, if you take that prayer card and pray for us, and I can say this, that your prayers does work. And what's one thing about being on furlough? I might be tired physically, but it's a blessing to get in the house of God, seeing people who pray for you, support you. It's encouragement. Knowing I go back on the mission, I'm back at Boston, Salem. I've got a battalion, a brigade. Amen. We can go on the battlefield, co-laboring with Westside Baptist Church and reaching the souls and discipling those who get saved. That they tell others, the other could tell others, and the word of God gets spread out. So please continue to pray here this evening. But in Psalm 126, if you'll stand there, we read the sixth verse. If you'll stand reading God's word here this evening, Psalm 126, amen. I'm glad I'm saved this evening, amen. Amen. I thank God this evening. In Psalm 126, tells us, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then saith they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. I think God has done great things for us. Amen. The Lord hath done great things for us, wherefore we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, at the streams in the south, that they that sow in tears are reaping joy. He that goeth forth in weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Let's pray. Dear God of glory, Father of glory, God of all power, Lord, I pray, God, this evening, Lord, God, I thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be under the tabernacle. As the psalmist said, I'll have that tabernacle, Lord, to be here among the people, Lord. God, as I stand behind this pulpit here this evening, this sacred dais, Lord, I preach you a holy word, your inspired and arrogant and infallible word, Lord. I pray, God, you hide me behind the cross of Calvary, Lord. God, I do not want to be seen, Lord. But God, I want your people to see you and see your glory and see your commandments and see your commission, Father. And God, obey your law and obey your commandments, Lord. May God, people see the need of what the need to be preached today this evening, Father. Will you open every heart, Lord, and open it and every ear attentive to what thus says the Lord. And God, I pray you will increase, I decrease, Father. God, I pray you help me to preach a dozen, help me not preach a dozen men, a dozen words of men wisdom, but demonstration of the Holy Ghost, Father. Help me, Lord. Help me decrease, Father. I need your help. I need your strength. I am feeble and I am weak, and without your power, without your strength, without your anointing power, Lord, I cannot do this alone. Help me, speak to me, Lord, to your people, and affect the hearts of your people here this evening, Lord. Whatever be done, we say, whenever we walk out of the house of God, it's been good to be in the house of God. And when we walk out, say, not what a preacher, not what a missionary, not what a church, but what a Savior, Lord. And I pray you'll help us this evening. We ask your will be done, not my will, but thy will. It be pleasing to your sight here this evening. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Amen. Amen. I'm always nervous. Unless I'm in preaching, I'm nervous in every church. Amen. But here, I want to preach on this thought this evening. The passion and the promise. And I'm just going to give a little induction to get to where we need. I'm trying to just give you a little induction to get where we're going to preach. And I want to just read this because I put it together to let people know. I'm trying to teach, but I also preach also at the same time. You see, and you know if anything about the Psalms, beginning with the Psalm 120 and continuing Psalm 134, we see we're on Psalm 126 this evening. These Psalms are called the Songs of Degree. They were sung, and see these Psalms, the Psalms, they're called Psalms that were sung. And so they were sung by the pilgrims who were traveled to Jerusalem to keep the various feast days on the religious calendar of Israel. They were stationed along the way where the pilgrims could stop for rest and refreshment. While they were there, they would sing one of these songs of worship to the Lord. The Psalm 126 we will look at here this evening is the seventh in these 15 songs of degrees. It was a special song to the children of Israel because it reminded them of the Lord's past works in this life of their nation and His promise to carry on the work into the future. I'm glad, amen. I always look on the past what God's done for me, amen. I'm glad that here this evening that we can count our blessings outdo our troubles, amen. I always never forget what God's done for me, amen. I'm glad He saved me. I'm thank God that He reached down. I didn't come to Him, but He came to me. How could I come to somebody when I did and trespass? Come to Him when I did and trespass in sin. How depraved in sin. But thank God, Lord saved me. I thank God for the past. And these people rejoice. They Israelites rejoice what God's done for them. But we see here. But in the context of this psalm, it's like a farmer. You see, you think about a farmer, amen. It's like a farmer who may wait to the drudgery of his labor. But after the ground had been tilled, the seed planted, and the harvest brought in, this same farmer turned from the same field, rejoicing in the fruit as his seed. And see, I told you, I already mentioned barren precious seeds, that we all should be seed sowers. That we all, we at the church, as the church, we are to be farmers bearing precious seeds of the gospel. The way each one of us, not just a preacher, not just a missionary, not just an evangelist, but everyone is a bearing precious seeds. We are farmers for Christ's sake. Amen. I am a farmer. All I want to do is throw out that seed any way I can. For me to live as Christ, I was getting any way I can to get the gospel out. And see, also, Claire, in this world, and you think about the field, you think about the harvest field, and you know, a farmer has to go out and find the fields to plow his corn, his crop. And you know, a farmer has to till the ground, they have to plant the seed, and how that seed going to grow? It has to be watered, amen. And when it waters, it grows, and it grows, when it grows, it bears its fruit. And see, that's what the world is to us. The Bible says in John 4:35, say ye not that yet there are 4 months, then cometh harvest. Behold, it's Jesus speaking to the church. Speaking. Say ye not there are 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and look in the fields, for they are white and ready unto harvest. Jesus indicating that we, His redeemed, His church, what the church is not four walls and a steeple, but those that have been redeemed, those that have been washed in the blood, those that Jesus has saved and washed in His own precious blood. That's the redeemed. We, His redeemed, are the farmers who are to plant, tend, and reap the harvest where we're at. And you walk outside these doors, it's a harvest field. Lift up your eyes. Look in the fields. Church, Salisbury. I know there's a Baptist church about every corner, but their souls are dying and going to hell. They not received the true gospel of the true light. And I tell you, they got a lot of false doctrine involved. False, but easy, friendly gospel out there. And I tell you, it ain't a simple prayer and saying a sinner's prayer. Oh no, I hate sinner's prayer, amen. But I call sinner prayer has nothing. I tell you, it's easy, friendly gospel that the world is trying to bring in. But I tell you, here this evening, well, you stick with me. We're talking about the passion and the promise. If you and I were really honest with ourselves this evening, we will have to admit that our witness is often lacking in some of its necessary elements. Each one of us can examine our own hearts before the Lord. He said, lift up your eyes, church. Lift up your eyes, each one of the redeemed. Lift up your eyes, He said. And all that these verses are all about. In this passage, the Lord addresses some of the things we lack. And offers His promise to those who will go forth in His name, spreading the glorious gospel in His way. Here today, once again, we want to look at the passion and the promise. And as we do, let the Lord Himself speak to your hearts this evening. Because behind every face, the soul, behind every soul, the face, the people dying every hour, every minute, every second. The Bible said our life is like a vapor. It just appears for a little bit and vanishes away. It's just like a vapor. Our family, our friends, our nation, our enemies. That's the field that we need to focus on. See, we want to look at first part. We want to see. First, we want to see there is a purpose to a knowledge. The purpose is this. God expects His people to be active, engaged in keeping, sharing the true gospel with the true gospel of the lost and dying world. And you know, I said there's many ways that we need to, we can do that. We do it in the nursing home ministry. We do it in a prison ministry. We do it on public speaking. We do it personal witnessing. We do it by support missions worldwide. We do it personally. Yes. See, first, what would you look at? In verse 6, it says, "He that goeth forth and weep and bear in prison seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." First, see, it's personal. Notice the word "he." He that goeth forth. He. Talking about you and I. Person pronoun. There is no indication to who he is speaking, to whom he is speaking, but it's to every individual, to he. It's a person pronoun. I, person pronoun. That, you know, talking about a person pronoun. The question should do to the majority of the church, why did we ever get the idea that witnessing, this same, listen to me, witnessing is the job of the pastor, the evangelist, the missionary, or the deacon. It's for everyone, from child that knows Jesus Christ. It's up to the man of God that pastors the church to teach and show the people how to share the true gospel, that you may able, you should say yourself approved. Can you, this evening, church, tell somebody how to be saved? Can you take them into scriptures and tell them how they can be saved? If somebody asks you to promise that within you, can you give them the gospel? How much you care for souls? How much you care? Because the Bible says, "For the redemption of the soul is precious, that sees forever." Why does Christ profit a man? He gained the whole world. See, souls will die, and people are going to hell. Can you remember in hell? Can you remember the day? You can remember in Luke 16, and as the rich man looking up, and he called out and said, "Lazarus, you're going to tell them that my four brothers about this place called hell." I'm going to try and break the scripture, but listen, church, if we don't have a passion, we need that passion. Why the world's lost? Why they do what they do in Salisbury? Why do they have the bars opened up? Why they have sodomy in every corner? Why is it? Because the church is not passionate enough to share the gospel. They fear man. Don't fear man, but fear the Lord alone. Fear comes from God, the devil. The fear, God, He gives us no fear, amen. That day you say, "I cannot witness." Oh, yes, you can. God can help you because He said you receive power, amen. The Holy Ghost is in you. You can witness to them. People dying and going to hell. And we need to have a heart. Well, each one of us, if you're not witnessing for the Lord, you're sinning against Almighty God. He said it's a command for the church, and you are the church this evening. See Acts 4:8. The Bible teaches that the gospel to be spread by every born again believer who had been born, who had been saved. Acts 4:8. See, this is talking to before Jesus telling his disciples you should receive power. He said, "But you should receive power. That the Holy Ghost had come upon you, you should be witnessing to me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and all Samaria and in other parts of the earth." Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching to observe all things whatsoever I command you. Lo, I'm with you." See, he says, "I'm with you." He said, "I'll never leave thee or forsake thee." Amen. Don't be afraid. All you're afraid of is rejection. Somebody rejects the truth. That's all you're afraid of. Amen. What can it do to you? Amen. Listen to me. I've been threatened on the streets of Salem. They have threatened to take my life. I said, "You take my life, I'm just going to heaven. I ain't afraid of you. I ain't afraid of death. Because I got faith in Jesus Christ. This dude, because I receive power." When you get saved, you see power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And see, he said, "I'm with you always."
Right. Yeah.
Mark 16:15, he said unto him, "Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature." The world is, the gospel is meant for the world, amen. And see, the church, when we preach, amen, we have to, we as preachers have to preach the gospel here too, because we got people coming in that it's lost. We need to preach there. But the word, after this, is to go out in the world and preach that what the world? The world of sinners, the world of darkness, talking about the world outside that's filled with sinners that need to be saved. Go in the world and preach the gospel.
Yeah.
See, it's personal. What we see is also his present tense. Second, you see his present tense. It says, "He that goeth forth." He that goeth forth. He that goeth forth. See, this is a verb tense meaning to continually minister of the bearing of the precious seed of the Lord's gospel to a perishing world. It is a continuing. He said, "Going forth." There's no stopping. You cannot sit down. You must stand up. You can't sit. You can't. You can't be quiet. You must. You can't sit down. But you must stand up. You can't be quiet. You must speak up. Amen. Because they're continually. That's the great commission he gave to us. How precious it is when we share the gospel to a lost and dying world. And when in the greatest miracle church, when God takes a sinner and saves their soul. And when I see somebody get saved, church, it's like I'm getting saved all over. A soul is precious. And he that weepeth and bearing precious seed. We see there has never been a moment. There will never, ever will be a moment when the message of the glorious gospel is needed in the world. The world needs the gospel. Not just in Boston, saved, not just Salisbury, North Carolina, not just the South America, but worldwide. From the Judea and Samaria. You see, it says there, I'll get fed it to you. But it says also that you're being both me in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and what parts of the earth, the gospel. What you doing? Are you busy about your father's business? Hey, listen, what you care for souls become? Because people passing away. You don't, you say, how many of you ask the preacher to pray for your loved lost one? How many people you say you pray for your co-workers or somebody that's lost? And you pray for them. And you ask the preacher to pray, but if that person you asked about for salvation, have you gave them the truth,
right,
the gospel? How can they be saved, church, if the seed's not planted?
That's right.
The seed got to be planted. See, the Holy Ghost has nothing to work with till the seed's planted.
Right.
So no use to pray and not call the pastor and say, "Pray for my loved lost ones," if you not give them the gospel. Now, then you give them the gospel, then you ask your pastor and ask the church to pray and weep in tears.
Yeah.
Instead of Paul said, "I planted, I Paul's water, God give an increase."
Yeah.
We shall plant with tears in our eyes. Here this evening, we see this. Second is a present tense to go forth. But third is precious. It says, "It go forth and weep and bear precious seed." Precious seed. The message we have been given to the world is a precious message to a lost and dying world. And where we're at in Salem, but it's a precious message to the Wiccans. It's a precious message to the drunkard. It's a precious message to the whoremonger. It's to the adulterer, the fornicator, the liar, the gambler, the covenant, those that dishonor father and mother, those that murder, those that rape. It's a precious message to them. It was a precious message to me. I was lost, church. I lost my way to hell. Listen to me. Before I got saved, it was a precious message to my heart because I realized who I was. What a love. No man loved, no greater love than the love a man laid down in life for his friend. No greater love than our Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for us. He loved and gave himself for us. I remember who I was, preacher. I was a lawbreaker. I broke God's law. I was a murderer. I was a murderer. You know what was a murderer? I hated people. I was a liar. Every time I turned around, I said some lies. And I was an adulterer by heart. A Sheila, listen to me. I was a blasphemer. I dishonored my father and mother. I broke God's law. By the way, why for the schoolmaster is a school, and the law is the schoolmaster bringing to Christ. We just by faith, amen. And the law showed me. I knew I was lost. It was a precious message. I broke God's law. I broke every commandment. I was a sheep, a sinner, as Paul said. I was lost, but the precious message the preacher preached to me. You can be forgiven your sins. If you can be forgiven, and your sin can be washed away in the blood. If you can put your trust and accept his saving faith by grace this evening. Thank God, amen. It's a precious message, still precious today. I'm glad God can save, amen. God can save anybody. God can save your loved ones. God can save your friends. God can save Salisbury. God can save Salem. God can save Boston. And God can save the world if he wants to. But it's a church responsibility.
Amen.
You're deceived.
That's right.
See, third is precious.
That's right.
See, we have the gospel.
Yes.
See, why is precious? For of course, it's the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4.
Yes.
For I deliver to you the first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. They were buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. See, church, the gospel. The gospel message is that Jesus Christ had died on the cross and buried and rose the third day. That is the good news. That is the gospel. What Paul said to the Corinth church then there. Hallelujah. There's no true story like this story. Amen. How that our God, our Creator, loves man. And he died for us. And then rose from the dead. Amen. Amen. He rose. And so we are only, amen. All other religions, their gods are dead. But our God alive. And Jesus Christ is God. Amen. Justified, manifested in the flesh. Justified by the Spirit. Amen. He manifested in the flesh himself that died for our sins. A God that created us. And the same God that died for us. Amen. You're deceived. But listen, it's a gospel. It's precious because of the gospel, because of what he done on the cross of Calvary. What he done for us on the cross, what he done for you and I as a church, what he done for our loved ones, and for every nation and kindred and tongue of the world, and from Salem, Boston to all around America. What's going to change the only thing that's going to help America is Christ the Lord and the gospel. And we are responsible. God put it in our hands, an individual and as a church body. And see, it's precious because of the Word of God.
Yeah.
He said, how can they get saved? We know. So then faith come by hearing, hearing by the Word of God.
Yeah.
And the Word of God is precious because the Word of God shows us who we are.
Yeah.
See, the Bible says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The law, the Word of God. Faith come by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. How are they going to hear without there being sent?
Right.
Listen to Baron Brady. You got the Bible church. So you know how to witness to somebody. If somebody asks you how to be saved, can you tell them from the scriptures? Can you show them how to be saved? Can you do that? If you cannot, I'd be ashamed. And I ask the Lord to get in my heart and ask me and teach me and show me how I could witness this church going out knocking on doors and knocking on doors and saying, about to come to church. It's not soul winning. And going to shut the doors and talking to them about the salvation and bearing that precious seed is soul winning. Inviting people to come to church. Church is not what it's about. It's sharing the truth of God's word and talking to the heart about the salvation. Amen. I know some said, well, I know I got a lot of young converts in my church. I said, well, if you can't, and I know they're very young, so they don't understand how to witness. I'm teaching them. I said, you just go ahead and invite them, give them a gospel tract, and invite them to come to church. So I want you to go even further than that. I'm teaching them how to witness faithful, how to effectual witness for the Lord as they witness to people. See, the scene important. Inviting them to church, you ain't inviting the person to see you inviting people to church. But you'll get that gospel in their hearts as the Holy Spirit do the work. Yeah. So we didn't say nobody. God sent them forth. Right. He's the one that would say he'd give an increase.
Yeah.
See, the word of God is powerful. Amen. It's powerful, amen. It's one to convict me of my sins. The law is perfect converting the soul. The law is. It showed me that I was lost. It'll show a person's lost.
Yeah.
But also we see the Holy Spirit. His presence calls the Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 13. How about when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you to all truth. For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. Mark 13, verse 11. But when they lead you and lift you up, take no thought beforehand, what shall you speak? Neither do you premeditate, but whatsoever you shall be given you in that hour, that you speak ye. For it's not you that you speak, but the Holy Ghost. See, you say, Christians, we have the gospel. We have the word of God. This is your tool. It's a Bible. We have the gospel. We have the word of God, but we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit warns us. That convicts the sinner. And if you've never been convicted by the power of God, you've never, ever been saved. Well, you've got to be convicted of your sin. And the Holy Spirit is the one that reproves you of sin, of judgment, and righteousness, and show you that you're lost. You got to have a spiritual understanding. And how the person gets saved, they don't have a spiritual understanding of God, what the gospel is. Listen, this season, we have the Holy Ghost. You receive the Holy Ghost to do what he wants. We must be setting the seed. How can a farmer, if he sits back and he plows a field, but he don't plant no seed, he ain't going to get no crop, amen. But if he plants the seed and till it back over, amen. And how are he going to get any more seed? He must water it. He must have water to plant that seed. And listen to me. We'll get with the tears here in just a second. But we see church in our own. And we have our own testimony. We have our testimony. Your testimony is so important, church. What you do, you just sanctify yourself before the Lord thy God, for he's holy. See, your testimony. We should be a light in the world. And if you play in the world and trying to straddle the fence, be worldly and be being a Christian. See, your testimony is so important. You can be a Bible from somebody at your work, at your school. That's why God says, sanctify yourself. Sanctify yourself. Set yourself apart. Your testimony, church. If you're here this evening, you're in sin, some kind of sin, and people, you know, people watches. The world watches you like a hawk. And a hawk and an eagle eye can see you and what you do. If you're in sin, you know what happens? It ruins your testimony. It's hard to get people in when you're playing in the world and straddling the fence, per se. You should be holy. You should be walking right with God, that you will ruin your testimony. We have a testimony. I have a testimony. What the Lord done for me. What he done for me, he can do for my friends, for my family, and for Salem, and for Boston, and for the world here this evening. Here this evening. But also we don't get to see there's a purpose to a knowledge, but we see a passion to adopt. You see, This passage uses two words that carry the idea of passion. These words, you see, are tears and weepeth. These words speak of toil, pain, and of passion. They tell of a burden for a job that must be done.
Amen.
Just as a farmer gets attention to the field, as he gives labor to the planting, cultivation, and the harvesting of the crop, as we as Christians, we need the same passion towards a world that's powerful without God. We need a greater burden than ever before for the souls of man. Do you have that burden? How do you get that burden? How do you receive tears? It must be on your knees. You must be asked, Lord, to give you tears and weep for the people. When the last time you cry before God to save your loved one? When the last time you give God, ask God to give you boldness to speak about His, about the gospel? The disciple asked him in the book of Acts, give us boldness to speak about your name. Listen to me. When the last you have that passion, that burden, can you weep before the lost? When the last time you shed tears for your missionary and for the mission fields across America and across the world? When the last time you get around the altar of your church, around your hall and praying for souls to be saved? God, listen to me. The reasons we need a passion for souls are examples. We have been given many examples of men with a burden for the lost. Their burden should serve as a lesson to our lives. First of all, number one, Jesus had a burden. Jesus had a burden. In John 11:35, Jesus wept. Luke 19:41, and when he would come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. He said, oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem. Oh, have I gathered thy chicken. Oh, he was old Jerusalem. He wept. He had a burden. Oh, Lord had a burden. He had a burden. His burden carried to the cross. He carried our sin to the cross. His burden carried to the cross of Calvary. And it's his burden that take our stripes. You think about the burden he carried. You think about the Garden of Gethsemane when he prayed for us. You don't think God Christ had a burden? His burden took to give his own life. He gave his own life. His burden took to the cross of Calvary. And what would our burden? Would we lose our life for the sake of Christ? Would you do that? Would you be like Apostle Paul, for me to live as Christ dies gain? About this, it's serious business. I hope God stir your heart, not just today, but a week from now, 2 months from now, a year from now, and forevermore. God has passed my heart because I know people dying, going to hell. I can't wait to get back to Salem because I know people, all I think about is ticking away and people perishing without Christ. And I know I can't save anybody, but I'm sure God gave me a commission to have a passion. Tears. Jesus had a burden. But also, Jeremiah had a burden. Jeremiah never seen anybody get saved. But bless this man of God. You know that God called Jeremiah, and called Jeremiah when he called him to preach judgment on Judah. He didn't tell him to preach nothing else but judgment on the people. And when you preach judgment, people ain't going to respond back when you want them to respond back. When a preacher preached on hell, people don't like it. When a preacher preached on sin, people don't like it. And that's what he did. He preached on sin. And preacher trying to get the people back to God. But he never seen nobody get saved. But they God, Jeremiah had a burden. He says this, although my head were tears, my eyes a fountain of tears, that I may weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people, that my head would be tears. When you see church, the people dying and go to hell, if hell could open up its mouth this evening, they'll cry out and say, don't tell my brothers, come tell them there's a hell. They might scream out and say, God help. And said the Westside Baptist Church, go tell. Don't waste any time. They're causing life like a vapor. Hey, the hell, the crowd is screaming. Hell, man. Hey, tell my friend, I'm in vain. Don't ever this place of torment. You see, Jeremiah wept. But also, Paul had a burden. He said in Acts 20, verse 31, therefore, watch, remember that by the faith of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears, with tears, with tears. You know what driven Paul? Paul was persecuted. Paul was in prison. That's early disciples had their heads chopped off. They've been outside, crucified upside down with a cross. And Paul had been prisoned everywhere, been stoned to death. But you know what? If God had got back up, because he knew him, they would have stoned him, was law. They would have persecuted him, was law. He got caught back up by God's grace, for he knew his grace, God's grace was sufficient. He kept preaching with tears. I said, turn from your wicked way. Turn, repent. Turn to Jesus. I love you. Keep spitting on me. Keep whipping on me. Keep throwing stones at me. But I know that Jesus can save you. I was a wicked old. I was a murderer. Paul said, I was a murderer. I persecuted the church. But God, what God the devil can do for you, the Jews that persecuted him.
Yeah.
Here this evening. See, our examples, we need a passion for souls. Why? Why? It's about also of our experiences. See, why? What Lord done for us. We remember the day where we was at. We was lost. Our experiences. Remember, somebody showed you the gospel.
That's right.
Somebody prayed for you somewhere.
That's right.
So remember your experiences.
That's right.
How you have passion. Remember what the Lord brought you from.
Yeah.
Remember where he saved you.
Yeah.
Remember, you're sitting here. Hopefully each one here is saved. I don't know who is saved here not saved. But you're not saved to sin. You can be saved. But listen, think about the experiences. What passion for souls can, not just for the burden of Christ and then Jeremiah and Paul, but our experiences. I want people to have what I have. That's joy. That's peace. That's joy, peace, and love. I never could love nobody till Christ came into my heart. I couldn't love my wife till he came into my heart and showed me how to love the sinner and hate the sin. I couldn't love my wife till he showed me how to love. There's no greater love in the heart when Christ in the heart of a Christian. That's why the love of Christ moves me and put the compassion in my heart for what he's done for me. Here to see. But also, we see, not just the reason we need for a passion for soul, but we see the inner man. The Bible tells us that many, many will die lost, then will be saved. Matthew 7:14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads to life. There few be there that find it. Matthew 22:14. Many are called, but few are chosen. It has been said, Pastor of the... It's been said that the Christian faith has been said that only 2% of all the people who ever lived will be saved. What a horrible and heart-wrenching statistic. 2%. Is this statistic true? I'm glad I'm part of 2%.
Amen. Amen.
I'm glad that God came to me. I didn't come to him, it came to me. He said, well, he shows me for the foundation of the world. I thank God this evening he shows me. He saved me. But I can't be still. I can't be in the ease. I can't be at ease. I can't be in my comfort zone. Don't get out of your comfort zone, church. You too much here in the Bible Belt. I see you. God bless you, but we get in a comfort zone. You can get a comfort zone because you got all things going well for you. You have a good church, a good pastor. You got a good family. And listen to me. A lot of people don't have what you have because they don't have Christ. Get out of your comfort zone. Amen. Get out of comfort zone. And stay out of, ask the Lord to get me in comfort zone. Not get me in a comfort zone. When I get in the comfort zone, that's when I lose my passion for souls and a passion to the Lord's work. See, church, reason, the inner man, if they're not get saved, your family don't get saved, your friends, your neighbors, your enemies. You know, say, pray to love your enemy. Pray for you. I pray for those witches. I pray for those that persecute me. Jordan, you know, I see their faces a Christian day. I see the faces of Robert Kennedy. I see the faces of those witches and those atheists and those that spit in my face. I see their faces on the streets. And I see their faces. And I say, God, God, would you please? Some might have a reprobated mind. God might have turned them over. But there's still hope. There's still the blood. There's still the power. There's still the Holy Ghost that can save them if God's will. I said, God, please save my enemies. I want to see them get saved and born of God. I pray for my enemies. I want to see them get saved. I want to see God save Salem and turn them upside down with the gospel. And then they make the Salem not come a witch city, but a Christian city. It was what it was once before it became a witch city. God can do it.
Yes, He can.
See, sirs. We, the results of having that passion for souls. What's the results? What results? We're truly moved by the plight of the lost. I promise you, there will be tears, burden, and prayer, increased activity among the redeemed. It's results of having passion for souls. You will have a burden. You have a prayer. Yeah, I used to come in here probably on. I'm teaching a church, trying to teach the people a true gospel Baptist church in Salem that to have when they come in, and we try to have our Thursday night, Pastor. Oh, we don't ask for praying for the sick or praying for the nation, but I ask us pray for the law. I pray for laboring in the harvest. I pray to have a passion. When you get the passion, you'll have tears. You'll have a burden, and your increased activity will move among you as the redeemed.
Amen.
See, we need a burden. We need God to break our hearts over the condition of the lost. And need God to break our hearts today and now. We need to cry because we do not cry. We need to be burdened because we're not burdened enough. We need to be upset that we're not upset. We need the Lord to do something in our hearts. Even me, O Lord. That will cause us to be bold and unashamed of the work of Christ has done in us and we're going to do for others. See, we don't get to see the passion to adopt, but we see a promise to take action. When we go God's way with a burden for the lost, we can rest assured that we'll see the Lord's promises to those who witness for them. Here are the promises. It says in verse 6, it says, he that go forth and weep and barren, prince of seed, you see that word, and then, shall doubtless. This word doubtless means, it implies that the one who goes forth weeping and bearing the prince of seed will receive the harvest he is active in. The Bible tells us that the harvest is the Lord's.
Yes.
Matthew 9:38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers in the harvest. God, listen to this, God never promised you and I that we'll be great seed sowers. Or soul winners, I call it seed sowers. Or soul winners with people getting saved everywhere, every time when we share the gospel. It's not going to come that way.
No.
Listen, we have knocked over 35,000 homes. And preached over millions of people. But we'll get seen in a few hands. Church, people say, Pastor said, I heard some preacher say the other day, that street preaching ain't that effective. I said, what are you talking about? We're not on 35,000 homes. I'm not there for the numbers. You know, I understand, Pastor, I like your church full.
Oh, yeah.
I would rather have quality than quantity.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
Pairing up person is all I'm thinking about as a pastor, as a missionary. That's all you should be thinking about. If you're not started planting, you can start planting.
That's right.
If you have already planted, if you're not started weeping, how are you going to plant those seeds you have planted? Have you prayed for their soul? See, he promises.
Amen.
He says, he promised to us that when we do his way and carry his message, then we are successful. And our success is determined by our obedience to the Lord.
Yes.
Once again, 1 Corinthians 3:6-7, I have planted. Apollos watered, but God gave it increase. So then he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. When we go and tell, we are successful. And then we see not just the, we don't just see the promise as it says, but we see the promise of satisfaction. Notice the word rejoicing. We're rejoicing. That word indicates a state of satisfaction. The farmer who had labored and would reap the harvest would look upon his labor with satisfaction, with joy. See, if a farmer goes out and do what he needed to do, is a plow the ground, till the ground, and put fertilizer on what he needs to put on it, plant the seed, put it all back to level ground so that the seed can grow. And he water it by God sending forth rain, or he water it by the water, whatever he has to grow, that water has to grow. Then when it goes up, and whatever vegetable, whatever fruit it is, then it bears fruit. You can look back in joy and satisfaction, seeing what the hard labor was. And see, church, this is true for the Christian who witnessed for the glory of the Lord. When we have the satisfaction of knowing that we have shared the glorious gospel and obedience to our Lord, it always a call for satisfaction. When that day in glory, church, when we are witness, we'll hear the word, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." God's approval in the depths of our souls. If someone gets saved through our testimony, we have satisfaction knowing there is a heaven is one more precious soul who did not go to hell. Seeing someone come to the Lord, then we know that God had been glorified, Christ had been exalted, and the devil has been cheating. I say, amen, hallelujah. Yes. Here this evening, we see, here this evening, the passion of promise. I ask you this question as my conclusion. How many times have you shared your testimony with a lost person since you've been saved?
Right.
How many times have you had the privilege of taking someone to the throne of grace and personally introducing them to Jesus Christ? How could you hear this evening? Do you have that burden, that passion? God can send it to you. With burning fire in your heart and soul. But action starting tonight.
Right.
If the Lord had been dealing with you about being a better witness of sharing the gospel, lay it down, sharing you tonight to come before Him. Lay down to the knees that you need to go in your heart this evening.
Yes.
Each one of us here has lost loved ones, friends, neighbors, a world. Church, it's not just us as missionary servants to Boston, Great Boston, not your pastor, Joel Height. It's not the evangelist standing here. There might be an evangelist here in the church. But it's everybody.
Right.
Every woman, every man.
Yes.
I want to read, and I've done this, I'm going to read a poem I have here that I read every once in a while, it reminds me. It talks about my friend. I'm done. My friend. Is the name of this poem. It says, "My friend, I stand in judgment now. I feel that you were to blame somehow. On earth I walk with day by day. Never did you point the way. You knew the Lord in truth and glory, but you never tell me the story. My knowledge then was very dim. You have led me safe to Him, though we live together here on earth. You never told me of the second birth. Now I stand this day condemned because you failed to mention Him. You taught me many things that's true. I'll call you a friend and trusted you. But I learned how now that it's too late. How can you keep me from this fate? We walked by day and talked by night, yet you showed me not the light. Yet you let me live, love, and die. You knew I'd never on high. Yes, I called you friend in life and trusted you through in joy and strife.
Yeah.
Yet coming on to this dreadful end, I cannot now call you my friend."
Right. Yeah.
The passion and the promise. If we do what God commands us to do. Church, I hope God spoke to your heart. You just have a burden. The passion. perhaps you come on. But if you all bow your heads and if God spoke your heart, perhaps you come on, do what you need to do this evening. Thank you for allowing me to come.